Let's bow before the Lord and ask for his illuminating grace upon his word tonight. Our Father, we pray that as we read your word and as we hear your word proclaimed tonight, that your spirit would be here in our midst to make that word effective, working faith in our hearts to accept the truth of the gospel. We pray, Heavenly Father, that it would strengthen us for the coming week, that it would strengthen us in our lives as this word is applied to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please turn with me tonight to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 17, and we'll read through verse 35. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to them, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I've gone out proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And now please turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. From the prophet Ezekiel chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 4 and finish reading at verse 27. And he said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them, for you are not sent to a people of foreign speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many peoples of foreign speech and a hard language whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I sent you to such, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, have I made your forehead. Fear them not, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears. And go to the exiles, to your people, and speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me the voice of a great earthquake. Blessed be the glory of the Lord from its place. It was the sound of the wings of the living creatures as they touched one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, and the sound of a great earthquake. The Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heart of my spirit, the hand of the Lord being strong upon me. And I came to the exiles at Tel Abib, who were dwelling by the Kibar Canal, and I sat where they were dwelling. And I sat there overwhelmed among them 7 days. And at the end of the 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, or from his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sin, and his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. And the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, Arise, go out into the valley, and there I will speak with you. So I arose and went out into the valley, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there like the glory that I had seen by the Kibar Canal, and I fell on my face. But the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and he spoke with me and said to me, Go, shut yourself within your house. And you, O son of man, behold, cords will be placed upon you. You shall be bound with them so that you cannot go out among the people. And I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth, so that you shall be mute and unable to reprove them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. He who will hear, let him hear, and he who will refuse to hear, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Let's turn now to Article 31 of the Belgic Confession, found in the back of your Psalter hymnals on page 85. Article 31 of the Belgic Confession. We believe that the ministers of God's word, the elders and the deacons, ought to be chosen to their respective offices by a lawful election by the church, with calling upon the name of the Lord, and in that order which the word of God teaches. Therefore, everyone must take heed not to intrude himself by improper means, but is bound to wait till it shall please God to call him, that he may have testimony of his calling and be certain and assured that it is of the Lord. As for the ministers of God's word, they have equally the same power and authority wheresoever they are, as they are all ministers of Christ, the only universal bishop and the only head of the church. Moreover, in order that this holy ordinance of God may not be violated or slighted, we say that everyone ought to esteem the ministers of God's word and the elders of the church very highly for their work's sake, and be at peace with them without murmuring, strife, or contention as much as possible. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, living in this part of the country, you've got to be happy about warnings. You've got to be happy about Doppler radar systems and up-to-the-minute weather updates, because a hailstorm can come up almost out of nowhere, and you need to know if tornadoes are on their way, or even winter storms, because it brings icy roads and dangerous conditions for driving. Even if you think about what happened in the events before Katrina hit the coast, the National Weather Service there was able to predict with some certainty what that storm was going to do. I could track its growth and its progress and send out warnings to the people that were living in the areas that would be affected. When they saw those warning signs, they sent out the warnings, and a lot of people, even though there was a lot of disaster, a lot of people averted that disaster because of those warning signs. Now, our gracious God gives a warning system for the church as well. For the church, God appoints watchmen. Watchmen over His church. And the watchmen in the church are the elders and the deacons and the ministers. And they're entrusted with God's word, and He gives them warning messages to bring to His people because He's gracious to them. But they're commissioned to speak His word as a warning. They're commissioned to go to the wicked and speak a warning to them, to turn them away from their waywardness. But they also have to go to the righteous, people, to give them warning so that they stay along that path of righteousness. Now we want to note, first of all, beginning at verse 16, Ezekiel's call and his position. He's been given a call by God to go to the exiles of Israel and bring His warning message to His people. That's His calling and that's His task. And prophets weren't very popular in that day. They had just gone through being taken away from the promised land, and the Babylonians had come in and destroyed a lot of the people, and God had been silent for a lot of the time. And now He sends a prophet, His messenger, and he's not very popular. And the whole weight of this calling and this task that Ezekiel has to do, it's overwhelming. And he comes down by the Kibar Canal, overwhelmed with his task, and he waits. And the Lord has him wait for 7 days. But we also find out that the reason that he waited wasn't just because he was overwhelmed, but he had to wait for God's word. He didn't know what he was supposed to say yet. He knew that he had to go to the exiles, but he didn't know what he had to bring to them. So he waits for the word of the Lord to come to him before he leaves. After 7 days, that word comes to him, and he goes. Now, these exiles are in Babylon. They've been stripped away from the promised land. They've been dispossessed of their homes and of their herds. They felt the sting of the wrath of God. And in this time, God sends a messenger to bring a message of warning. A message of warning because of their unrighteousness, because they're a rebellious house, as Ezekiel writes. But Ezekiel is called to be a watchman. A watchman. Now the picture here is of an ancient Mesopotamian city with great walls, great fortified walls. And there are gates in these walls. Maybe he's thinking even of the city of Jerusalem itself. And all around these walls are garrisons of soldiers, armed, ready, waiting, in case an enemy should attack. And the gates are fortified. Some of them even had steel bars going across them, or they were overlaid with some kind of metal for protection. Because in that area, an enemy could attack at any time, especially at night. Night attacks were common because the enemy could approach and they'd be undetected, or relatively undetected, and could try to take over that city. And because the threat of an enemy invasion was so important and so common, they would also set up large watchtowers on the corners of the city. And they would commission watchmen to stand in those towers and to be observant and to watch, to look out around the city and even within the city, to watch for enemies approaching, to watch for enemies coming from within even. They were called to do that. Now, if the watchman was obedient, if he was diligent in his task and would warn the people and alert the soldiers that an enemy was coming, they could prepare for battle. But if the watchman failed, if the watchman failed to do his calling, his duty, and the enemy came in and destroyed the people, their blood was on his head. He bore the responsibility for their death because he didn't give them warning. Ezekiel is called by the Lord to be such a watchman, a spiritual watchman, if you will, over the people of God, to bring His word to them, entrusted with carrying His message of warning to His people, because the enemy was coming. In this case, the enemy was God himself, to bring punishment to his people. But Ezekiel first had to listen. He had to hear the word of God before he could speak the word of God. He had to know what message he was bringing. But these are general rules we have to see tonight. These are general rules for office bearers in the church. Office bearers are entrusted to guide, to lead, to instruct, even to admonish the people of the Lord. They're entrusted with listening to and speaking the word of the Lord to his people. They're chosen through an election in the church. But through that election, God appoints them. God is the one that appoints the office bearers in the church. He's the one that brings them to this calling to be watchmen. They're charged with the responsibility to disciple. To disciple. Discipling involves teaching. It involves instruction, admonition, encouragement, and giving guidance. Discipline isn't a punishment. We need to understand that. Discipline is the act of discipling, of bringing training and further instruction. It's part of our sanctification. It's a means that God uses to teach his people. It means bringing the person and the work of Jesus Christ to bear upon the lives of his people. When we recognize all that Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, and the calling that we have to live lives of obedience, lives of gratitude in response to that. If we understand that, that's what the office bearers have to bring to our lives. That kind of instruction. Instruction in the light of God's grace. Instruction in sanctification. There's not a whole lot of grace in the word punishment. But in the word discipling, grace is woven all the way through the word itself and through the actions that are involved with discipling, of bringing the word of God, of talking to God's people, of encouraging you and instructing you, and even of admonishing you. Because the goal is all Christ-likeness. It's all the same goal. God had perfect right to punish his people. To punish his people Israel in Ezekiel's time. They had the law. They had heard the prophets. They had Elijah and Elisha, but they still wanted their wicked kings. And so he put them into exile. He punished them. But rather than continuing that punishment, God is gracious. He's showing himself gracious here. Because he's going to send his word back to his people and bring them back. His goal here is to reclaim them, to own them again as his own treasured possession, not to leave them in Babylon, not to leave them under oppression, but to call them to repentance and bring them back into his blessed care. That's what he's aiming at. So he sends Ezekiel to speak the word of the Lord. Now, ministers in the church do this work of being a watchman in the most obvious way because they preach the Word of God. They preach Jesus Christ. They preach to you every Sunday about the gospel and apply it and challenge you through the preaching of the Word. But the elders and the deacons, they do this in a different way. They do this activity of being watchmen in a different way. It's the duty of the elders to provide spiritual leadership in the church, to make sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being heard and being received, to oversee the services. That's why we always have an elder here from Redeemer URC, because that church has oversight over us. And the elder that comes here every service, it's their duty to watch over the service. To make sure that the gospel is central. To make sure that Christ is preached. To make sure that everything is done here decently and in good order. That's their responsibility. It's also their duty to see evidence of godly living in your homes, in your families, in the church. The office bearers aren't cops. They aren't skulking around your families in the church looking for nitpicky sin so they can pounce on you. And they aren't firefighters either. They aren't going around putting out fires of controversy just so that everything here seems to be running smoothly. Their responsibility is a lot greater than that. It goes much more beyond that. They're entrusted with God's word. They're entrusted to bring a warning of God's word. That's what they're supposed to be doing. But it's the Lord who sends the warning. We need to remember that. It's the Lord that sends the warning. The elders and the deacons and the ministers are just the messengers. Now, the very first target of the Lord's warning in Ezekiel's commission in verses 18 and 19 of the text is the wicked. The wicked need to be warned first because of their wickedness. They need to be turned aside from their waywardness by the warning of the Lord. Ezekiel gives us two case scenarios. The first case is a warning against the wicked that he will die because of his wickedness, but because the messenger, the watchman, didn't warn him, the wicked will die anyway for his wickedness, but it's the responsibility of the watchman. He bears the consequences. He bears the responsibility for his sins because he didn't warn him. And in the second case, the wicked will still die for their wickedness, but the watchman who warns the wicked, even if they don't go back to righteousness, the watchman delivers his own soul, and he doesn't bear the consequences. Ezekiel is not charged, and office bearers are not charged with the salvation of God's people. Only God is the judge. Only God knows who his elect are. Only God knows who are not his elect. Only God can see to our hearts, to the depths of our hearts, and know where we stand. That's not the calling of the elders or the deacons. It wasn't the call of Ezekiel to decide who was worthy of warning and who was not. The call is to warn all the wicked. And if need be, to warn repetitively so. To keep going back to them until the wicked understand the message, until they get what God is saying to them, and only then will Ezekiel have fulfilled his duty and fulfilled his calling. The aim of the Lord is the salvation of his people. He doesn't just leave them there. He graciously sends a message. And so he sends Ezekiel to warn them so that they repent. That's what God wants to see, repentance. And he sends Ezekiel to get that repentance. But it wasn't Ezekiel's responsibility to save the people just to bring the message. But it is Ezekiel's salvation that's at stake if he's negligent. The text says that clearly. That's how weighty the responsibility was. If he fails, he goes down with them. He's like that watchman in the tower. If he falls asleep and the enemy comes in, the blood is on his hands. God will require that in the judgment. I want to make this story concrete tonight. Do you know what's at stake when the elders come to you and they ask, "Why aren't you in church?" And they ask, "Why aren't you worshiping with the people of the Lord? Or why aren't you behaving like a couple in the Lord?" Or when the deacons come to talk about your giving, or when they come to you to talk about your involvement in the services of the church, and they get looked at as the bad guys because they have to make the repentance calls. They have to come and make what are sometimes called discipline calls. And they get a bad rep for it because they have to be the bad guys. But do you understand what's involved in their calling? Do you understand the importance of their office? that they're standing in those watchtowers. And they're standing on the walls of the church. And they're standing on the walls of your families. And they're standing on the walls of your hearts. And they look out and they can see Satan and his army bearing down hard on those gates and hard on those walls. And they're coming in to wipe you out. That's the business that the elders are in. That's the business the deacons and the ministers are in. For your protection. To warn you about impending disaster. To warn you about the path that you might be choosing. And that it's leading to your destruction. That's the weight of what they have to do. And if they don't make those calls, then your destruction is on their hands and on their heads. Our God is not a God who abandons his people. Our God called out to all of us, wicked and undeserving as we were. We talked about that this morning. Called out a warning to all of us through his word. And what he demands is repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. What he demands is obedience and thanksgiving. But he sends out Jesus Christ. He speaks to us about Jesus Christ. He reveals Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ stands out as the most concrete, the most sound, the most clear warning. From God. He is the Word of God. And we get to see Him. We get to understand Him. We get to hear about Him. We get to hear that He came from heaven and earth to save a lost people. We get to hear that He came to lay His life down for us, to take our place in the judgment. To take on God's wrath so we didn't have to. We get to hear about Jesus Christ and how He saved us. John wrote in his gospel, "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." That's why we need to hear the preaching of the word. That's why we need the elders and the deacons to come to us, to watch over the church as watchmen. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about life. Life in Christ. A life that cost the life of our Savior. The most gracious act ever been done in any of our lives. There's a second audience. For this warning of the Lord, verses 20 and 21. This other audience is the righteous. And here again, Ezekiel gives us two case scenarios. The first case is of the righteous person who is turning from his righteous way, and the Lord lays a stumbling block before him and he will die. But because the watchman didn't warn him, his blood is on his hands. And the second case is the righteous who is straying from his righteous path. But the watchman comes to warn him. And the righteous turns away from that wickedness and returns to his righteousness, and he lives. And the watchman delivers his own soul. At first glance, maybe these two verses seem out of place. Why would you send a warning to the righteous if they're already righteous? Maybe some of that has to do with a misunderstanding of the word discipline. Because this is the teaching side, the educating side, the encouraging side of discipline, of discipling. That's what's involved here. And we also recognize that we're not always perfect. That we're on our way to godliness, but we stray from time to time. Sometimes for a long time. Stray away from that righteous path. We need that call to repentance all the time for our sins, a call to come back to the Lord and walk before Him in righteousness. God cares for the righteous. He cares for the wicked. And so he sends a warning also to the righteous. And that's the duty again of the elders and the deacons and the ministers, to go to the righteous, to teach and instruct. All of them have to bring the gospel to you, which is the aroma of life unto life and also the aroma of death unto death. For those who are righteous, for those who are living, it is the aroma of life, an encouragement, further instruction. That's what's behind family visiting, in catechism teaching, in Bible studies, men's groups and women's groups. It's that kind of instructing nature of the office of the elders and the deacons and the minister that bring those things to you, because God desires for you to grow. God desires for you to stay along that path of righteousness. They don't come to keep us under their thumb or to make sure that all the ducks in the church are in a row. It's for growth in sanctification, growth in holiness. We get teaching because we have more to learn, because we haven't arrived yet, because we're not quite there. And we have that goal, eternal life to look forward to, and we're moving toward it. And sometimes we don't know how to live properly before the Lord. And we need that instruction to help us along the way. So it shouldn't be a burden for us to have the elders over for family visiting, to sit under the instruction of catechism teaching, to go to Bible studies and participate in the life of the church. It's a joy. It's a great joy, a blessing that we have. When Ezekiel talks about the righteous person in verse 20, he's talking about the outwardly righteous person. And God says that he will put a stumbling block in his way. Now, this stumbling block could be the preaching of the word. It could be a discipline call, a call to admonition, a call to repentance. It could also be a promotion at work. Because this stumbling block that Ezekiel mentions is anything that causes a righteous person to start walking down the way of wickedness and waywardness. It's anything that is put in his path that will move him away from the path of righteousness. But that stumbling block can't be removed by the elders and the deacons and the minister. They didn't put it there in the first place. It's not in their hands. The stumbling block comes from God. That's God's work, God's design. And God can remove it, Him alone. But that doesn't change the responsibility to warn. It doesn't change the responsibility to bring the Word of God. I want to speak to the men tonight for a moment. To the men, to the boys, to the young men. Two things I want to say tonight. Start training yourselves now. Start training yourself in the Word of God, in the confessions of the church. Start becoming now men of prayer, men of service, men of action. Start getting ready, because you don't know, even if you're young, you don't know if Christ will call you to this work. You don't know if you'll be called upon to be a messenger of the Word of God, to be a servant of the church. Train yourself to be diligent. Get to know your surroundings and what the people of God have to face. Start reading books. Start watching the news. Start paying attention, training yourselves to be watchful. And I also want to say to you tonight, don't be too quick to go into office. Don't be too quick to take on the responsibilities of a watchman, because it will be your responsibility to warn. You will have to make the tough repentance calls. You will have to go to people who are unrepentant and call them to repent. And you will have to go to the righteous people who are straying from their righteousness and going into waywardness and you will have to tell them to turn around. You're going to have to be bearers of His word, entrusted with bringing His word. So don't be too quick to take that responsibility, because it's heavy. It's heavy. James tells us in 3 verse 1, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." It's a high calling. And I want to speak to all of you tonight. Pray for your elders and your deacons and your minister. Pray for the men in the consistory room and in the council room at Redeemer URC who are overseeing this church. Pray for them that they will be diligent, that they will be watchful, that they will be bold in bringing a warning where it's needed, and that they will be wise in bringing instruction and teaching and encouragement where it is needed. Pray for them because of the heavy responsibility they have, because they're out there in the watchtowers watching for your protection. We're very thankful for warning systems when it comes to weather. We're very thankful that they can tell us beforehand what's coming. We're very thankful that we can be prepared. But we're thankful for the warning system that God has placed in His church. We're thankful that there are men who will take the call to be watchmen, to watch over us. It is indeed a gracious God that we serve. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray for our elders and our deacons. We do pray that You would give the elders here in our midst tonight, that You would give them wisdom, discernment, a servant heart full of love, and dedication to the task of being a watchman. We pray that You would instruct them from Your word, that You would speak Your word to them clearly, so that they would know what to say to Your people as they disciple Your people. And we pray for the deacons as they watch over the physical needs of Your people, as they distribute their offerings, as they get Your people involved with the services of mercy in the church. We pray that they too would be given wisdom and discernment, that they too would receive instruction from Your word so that they would know what to say to Your people when it comes time, that they would be there for encouragement and instruction as well as admonition, that they would do their task discipling Your people, that they would do Your task, the task You've given them as watchmen. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the men in this congregation as they have the responsibilities of these offices. And we don't know for the young men in this congregation whether You would call them to it or not. But we pray that You would instruct them with Your word, that they would be good leaders of the church and of their families, that they would be good leaders and followers of Your word, that they would lead by example, but they would also lead by bringing Your word, by bringing Jesus Christ to bear upon Your people. Train them and instruct them and build them up for the sake of Your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond to God's word tonight.